Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
We have a special Old Masters series show today. It's a hybrid between marketing discoveries of the early 1900s and top moneymakers of 2025. Our old master is Claude Hopkins. Most people don't realize that there's a strong connection between two of the most important principles he wrote about and used, that is, sampling and demonstration, and what makes for an effective lead magnet in today's world. For this episode, I went back into two of his most important works, Scientific Advertising and My Life in Advertising. We'll talk about those first. There are tons of gems in there, and these books are well worth reading many times, which I've done myself. So we're going to focus on a narrow slice of the wisdom on today's hybrid Old Master series show. And then we'll catapult into 2025 to see how those ideas have evolved. Right after this message, you just can't write copy without. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Okay, so let's jump right in. Claude Hopkins is truly the greatest old master of all when it comes to direct response advertising, which today we'll define as advertising that actually creates sales. Claude believed that the best advertising lets the product sell itself. And he said the way to do that was with two techniques, sampling and demonstration. Let's look at each of these from Claude Hopkins' day, since we'll quickly see a through line between what he was talking about and what we're going to talk about today, which is one of the most important tools in online marketing, lead magnets. As we go into a lot of depth about what lead magnets are, we'll discuss what some good ones should look like and how to create a good one and what mistakes you should avoid. But it's always a good idea to start at the beginning. And in this case, I'm going to show you how Claude Hopkins really was the founder of the methods and psychology of 21st century online lead magnets. He wrote two books, which are must-reads for any copywriter, really anyone who has anything to do with advertising. They are My Life in Advertising and Scientific Advertising, and they're published in a single volume. I've personally read Scientific Advertising 15 times myself because, you know, I didn't want to miss anything. I found a couple of stories in his books that show the origins of his understanding about how vital sampling and demonstration are, especially how vital they are to selling. Let me share them with you. In My Life in Advertising, he mentions that his father died when he was 10 years old, and I'll quote him from there. From that time on, I had to support myself and contribute to the support of the family. I did this in many ways, but the only ways which count here are those which affected my after career. By after career, he means advertising. Back to the book. Mother made a silver polish. I molded it into a cake form and wrapped it in a pretty paper. Then I went house to house to sell it. I found I sold about one woman in 10 by merely talking the polish at the door. But when I could get into the pantry and demonstrate the polish, I sold to nearly all. That taught me the rudiments of another lesson I have never forgotten. A good article is its own best salesman. It is uphill work to sell goods in print or in person without samples. That's right at the beginning of My Life in Advertising. Only a few sentences in, you can hear him extolling the virtues of both sampling and demonstration, which are really two forms of the same thing. Because with both sampling and demonstration, you get your prospect to have an immediate personal experience of what you're selling before they buy. Now, with the example he gave, he went from about a 10% close rate to nearly 100% close rate, a 10x increase just because of sampling. Think about that. Here's something else, also from my life in advertising. Hopkins never went to college, but he was a very self-educated man in the most extreme and direct sort of way. He remembers watching street vendors and pitchmen with fascination, taking lots of mental notes. I stood there for hours to listen to them in the torchlight. I realize now that I drank in their methods and theories. They never tried to sell things without demonstration. They showed in some dramatic way what the product they sold would do. It is amazing how many advertisers know less than these men know about salesmanship. We've heard so many copywriters over the years say versions of the same thing. People who have to sell like their lives depend on it can teach us far more about what really works than people who spin fancy words and concepts, but when push comes to shove, couldn't really sell umbrellas to people in a rainstorm. Hopkins pioneered and wrote about many things, but today we're focusing on just two of them, sampling and demonstration. And that's especially important when you think about lead magnets. You see, the best lead magnets are simply very well-organized and well-presented forms of those two things, sampling and demonstration. And when everything's lined up, they really work. When they miss a few key qualities, that's where things fall apart. We'll look at some good lead magnets, what you need to do yourself with any lead magnet you're in charge of, next.
One thought that's specific about copywriting, sometimes you don't have a lead magnet or somebody's coming to your sales page without a lead magnet. A way that you can still kind of get the same effect is the way that you write. A lot of times having visceral copy, copy that talks about how something feels, the ruggedness of the jacket protecting you from the cold, the way that it feels on your skin, the soft caress of the velvet. That's a way to give people a sample mentally when your lead magnet can't actually deliver it. It's just one thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You're not always going to be able to use a lead magnet. And sometimes, I mean, especially with e-commerce, I think you have to go directly from an ad or, you know, an ad-alike thing like advertorial or something to the sales page. And so bringing in that visceral stuff, like you said, is a great way of simulating a sampling experience as well. So, yeah.
I think because what we're getting at here is the experience. If I get a demonstration, I get to experience it. Sometimes you can also duplicate that experience through your copy.
Yeah, for sure. But let's get back to lead magnets, too. So a lead magnet is something you offer, usually something digital. You offer cold traffic to get them onto your list and take them halfway through the journey of graduating from being a prospect to being a customer. Next, I'll give you three examples of successful lead magnets, and from there, talk about why they're successful. These are tips you can use yourself in creating new lead magnets for your own business or for a client. And maybe you can use these tips to diagnose lead magnets that aren't working as well right now. So use that in that way to fix them. So they do. First lead magnet is one that I used for my latest book, The Persuasion Story Code. And it's the first two chapters of a 12-chapter book. And I give this away for free on my website for the book. Now, I did have this planned to some degree when I was writing the book. The first chapter debunks the idea that the hero's journey is the only kind of story you can use when you're selling. And the chapter also lists the six categories of people that the book is most for. Business owners, sales professionals, coaches and consultants, business executives, course creators, and online store owners, and of course, copywriters. So I'm telling people in those categories that this book is for people like them. The second chapter contains a preview of the six kind of stories I cover in future chapters. Origin stories, prospects pain stories, future stories, reassurance stories, stories that explain, and stories that build trust. Of course, there are some great insights and useful nuggets in Chapter 1 and 2 as well. But these 30 pages do a great job of selling the prospect on buying the whole book. And we'll give you a link to this lead magnet in the show notes. Now, if you're selling something more wide-ranging and complicated than a book, you may need a more dazzling lead magnet. CoSchedule has an interesting one. The company sells a subscription to a social media calendar that handles a lot of tasks for the user. Of course, that would mean the user needs to create a lot of content and a lot of headlines. CoSchedule's lead magnet is a headline analyzer. It will give you an analysis of a headline on 10 factors, including overall score, word and character count, clarity and skimmability, and more. I'm not sure this is as good as common sense with a little background and knowledge for evaluating headlines, but I do think it's a very good example of a lead magnet. Because if you're interested in evaluating your headlines, then you are probably a very good candidate to become a CoSchedule subscriber. And once they have your email address, they can pitch until you buy or die or unsubscribe. And same idea with Digital Marketer. That is, they're getting leads for a massive comprehensive set of courses. So their lead magnet is Facebook ad templates. Here's the copy for it on the opt-in page. Copy and paste these 6 proven Facebook ad campaigns to create low-cost, high-converting ads on demand. 6 of our highest-converting Facebook ads we've run to date, plus a breakdown of why each ad is successful. The 11-word ad that netted $208,485 in sales using one simple principle of buyer persuasion that works in any market. The You Forgot reminder trick that brings in new customers and leads after they've already said no to your offer. The Use question formula that drives down click costs, increases conversions, and our top lead gen ad that generated a combined 110,422 leads and counting. Now, I'm not vouching for how well this will work in generating business for the user, that is, the ads you create out of their ad templates, since I've been trying it myself and I don't know. But I can say that as a lead magnet, it's a smart move on the part of the marketer. Why? Because in all likelihood, people are considering taking some courses from Digital Marketer, so among other things, they can make money or make more money with Facebook ads. And anything that's proven along these lines would be attractive to someone like that. So as a lead magnet, it's right on target. Okay, so those are examples of 3 solid lead magnets: mine, CoSchedule's, and Digital Marketer's. Next, we're going to look at qualities they have in common so you can use those as benchmarks for your own lead magnets.
Before we get into that, I wanted to get your thoughts on something. Seems like there's 2 kind of overall strategies here. One is give them something that prepares them to use. So if there's a gap in between where they're at and where they need to be at to buy, help bridge that gap with your lead magnet. And then the other one is like with your book or maybe a 14-day free trial. It's just let them see what it's like to have it. Let them get a small taste of it, hoping that they'll want the full entree once they've gotten a small taste. So a lead magnet that bridges the gap and then a lead magnet that gives a little bit of a taste.
Yeah. I mean, I think both are good. And bridging the gap is a little different, I guess, than experiencing, you know, than sampling and demonstration, but it's kind of in the same realm. In other words, it brings the prospect into the world of using the product. And if there are certain new skills or certain knowledge they need to acquire, certain understandings they need to have, it's all good. I mean, what you want to do. So I like both of those, Nathan. I think they're good. I mean, have you had experience where either one has worked or both have worked?
Yep. And I'm thinking in my own experience, I remember the old video games, when you used to buy a video game system, it would come with a disc that had the first level of 5 or 6 different games where you got to experience it. So you got to play 5 or 6 different games, the first level. And the first levels often also taught you how to play the game. So they kind of did both. They taught you how to use the product, and they gave you a small sample of what it would feel like. So I know it's a little bit off topic, but that's a great example of combining both of them into one.
No, I think that's really smart, especially when you're going to have to learn how to do something new. And, you know, you could make the case, at least with Digital Marketer, that they're kind of teaching you how to, you know, use their product, how to take a template and turn it into an ad campaign and so forth. But, I mean, I think the overarching theme is familiarization. And I think what you're talking about is really smart when they have to learn how to do something new, or when they have to shift their frame, you know, get into a new paradigm a little bit. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So for that not quite sophisticated market, somebody especially coming brand new into the world of whatever your niche is, I think that's where it works great.
Yeah. So again, you want to look at your level of market awareness that you're focused on. And yeah, there's a great distinction. So let's talk now about how you should go about creating your own lead magnet. And I think we can expand the frame based on what Nathan said. So in whether you're doing something which prepares the person, or whether you're doing something that samples or demonstrates something, all of these will apply. The first thing is to think of all the problems your product or service solves for your prospect, and whatever you do, don't try and solve all of them in your lead magnet. Don't. Instead, focus on one. I mean, with Digital Marketer, there are millions of problems that people need to solve. But, you know, maybe the most urgent one is, how do I get Facebook ads working? How do I do them? And that was the one that they approached with, is, you know, a very easy solution, and just fill in these templates. Now, if you're a copywriter and you want to get someone on your list, a really bad choice for a lead magnet would be The Ultimate Guide to Marketing. That sounds like it solves everything for everyone, but it doesn't involve any identifiable pain point that a real person would have. Instead, get specific. Isolate one urgent pain point and offer a quick, tangible solution that works. For example, instead of The Ultimate Guide, you could offer a special report called The 5-Minute Fix to Welcome Emails That Convert 15% of Prospects Who Abandon the Shopping Cart. Cart abandons, right? So that's good, because it's specific, it promises a quick win, and it addresses an urgent problem with quantifiable results. Let's look at examples from before. People who are interested in my book on persuasion stories are people who are frustrated trying to learn stories in their copy and spoken pitches, or people who just want to learn more about stories that sell. My lead magnet, which is the first two chapters of the book, lays the groundwork for a complete system to solve both problems. Experienced copywriters will be able to get some instant value, and the promises for the rest of the book are pretty much irresistible. For the second lead magnet we looked at, talk about instant gratification. Everyone worries about headlines, and rightly so. To get a free, very quick evaluation of your headline in all sorts of different contexts is very appealing, and it ties right into the main offer of a social media posting calendar. And the Facebook ads template library for Digital Marketer works the same way. Very powerful. Very powerful intro into the main business. Okay, so the second tip is, think ahead and transition smoothly to your core offer. It's really important to realize that a lead magnet is not a standalone piece. It's part of a sequence. So for it to work seamlessly, it needs to obviously make sense from the message the ad gave that sent you to the opt-in page, the lead magnet, and after someone reads it and uses your lead magnet, to the logical next step of buying your product. One way to make this work is just to ask and answer the question, what is the logical first step a prospect would need to take to be ready to buy my offer? And, you know, that gets back a little bit to what Nathan was saying in some cases, a logical first step is to learn how to do it or to learn the context of the problem solving that it does. But what is the logical first step a prospect would need to take to be ready to buy my offer? Then create the lead magnet so it walks the prospect through that step and solves one problem, which leads to awareness of other problems that your paid offer can solve. Let's say you were a coach and you had a high-end mastermind to help entrepreneurs scale from 6 to 7 figures. If you hadn't really thought through your funnel, you might offer a lame lead magnet like 10 tips for growing your business. Yeah, it's sort of related to what you do in your mastermind, but it's pretty vague and, yeah, pretty lame. So compare that to a lead magnet like this: your 7-figure scaling bottleneck assessment. And this hypothetical lead magnet would help a 6-figure business owner zero in on the exact problem area in their business that's holding them back. People who really want to grow from 6 to 7 figures would appreciate the information, and believe it or not, as a coach who helps people do this myself, I can tell you, most people are so enmeshed in their businesses that they can't step back mentally on their own to look and analyze the business to find the bottlenecks. I mean, maybe they could, but they might miss too much ongoing day-to-day action or other opportunities, so they won't. So anyway, back to our hypothetical lead magnet, once the prospect has found the problem area, then they would need more help, and that's where the mastermind would come in. And the third tip for lead magnets, and this is really important, and, you know, if you're a process-oriented person, if you're great at developing systems and processes, you might kind of gloss over this one, so it's really important to dig in and pay attention to this one. Focus on high perceived value and instant gratification. The more you make them think, the less it makes them want to buy. The better it looks, the more valuable people perceive it is. Give it a great title. Use clear and compelling copy on the landing page when you're describing the lead magnet, and that'll increase the perceived value right away. It has nothing to do with the content or the process, but that's just the way it works. And if you can find a way to give them a quick hit of dopamine, some quick win when reading or using your lead magnet, that will set up the sale so much better. What are your thoughts, Nathan?
I'm going to step back one example that you gave and point out, this is something that I run into with business owners all the time, mm-hmm. is not everything is in alignment. They don't have that North Star that everything is guiding towards. Yeah. And so they'll create content that points off to the east, and they'll write a book that points off to the west, and they'll have social media posts that kind of point to the southeast, and their offer is ultimately their North Star, but not everything points in that same direction. So having the lead magnet in alignment with that straight path towards their offer, having their content in that alignment straight towards their offer, that's something that you brought up that I run into all the time that business owners don't quite understand.
Yeah, wow. And I'm going to cover that in just a second. But as you were talking about all those points in the compass, I don't know why I was thinking of Jack London's book, The Call of the Wild. And I don't think I've even ever read it, but I saw it on a Netflix show. I don't know, that made me think of it. Okay, so let's talk about common mistakes people make with lead magnets. And Nathan, what you just said is the first one. Your lead magnet is not aligned with your core offer. And it's easy to do everything right in a lead magnet, especially if you know how to do a really cool trick that you know is going to impress a lot of people. But if it's not aligned with the core offer in terms of helping you generate sales, it's going to fail magnificently. The problem is you can get, and here's what happens, you get a list of hot prospects for something entirely different from what you're selling. You get them hot for what the lead magnet introduced them to. So you need to start with your offer and your prospect. In your mind, you need to start with your offer and your prospect and work backwards. Make sure your lead magnet appeals to the same people who have the same problem that your main offer appeals to, number one. And number two, make sure your ads are driving those people to your lead magnet. And it sounds too simple to miss, right? But people do all the time. Don't be one of those people. Nathan mentioned it too. I mean, I've seen it too. It's this kind of thinking, it's kind of a very disciplined meta thinking about alignment and focus. And, you know, it's probably easier for a copywriter who's not, it's not their own business to do something to see this, not to make this mistake, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. But make sure you take some time to step back and make sure your lead magnet is aligned with your core offer. The second mistake is when you fail to give your prospect a quick, tangible win. And the win can be a solution to a problem with a method that you have, or a simple method that happens quickly that doesn't take 24 steps, or it could be an amazing aha, or even better yet, a series of ahas that you can be reasonably certain your prospect will experience. But again, if you present a complicated, long, or theoretical lead magnet, it's not going to get the job done. Think about instant gratification. That's what people want and expect these days, and that's what you should deliver. And the third mistake is no follow-up strategy. The lead magnet is not like a magic wand. It won't do all the work for you, no matter how good it is. Even if it sells some stuff on its own, you're going to miss out on a large fraction of your sales. Make sure that you have a follow-up strategy to capture as many sales as you can.
I'm going to say the opposite of what you started the show with. So a little bit of a tangent, but between both of Claude Hopkins' Scientific Advertising and My Life in Advertising, I read Scientific Advertising probably twice. I read My Life in Advertising probably 30 times. And the reason why is storytelling. My Life in Advertising is filled with stories, and I learned through the stories, and I love it. And so, not to make this show a plug, but it's also why I love your book, Persuasion Story Code, because it's what connects with me. If I can learn something or be persuaded through a story rather than a scientific explanation, that's the way that I dig it. So I think there's room for both, but I went the opposite way as you. I read Scientific Advertising a couple times, and I read My Life in Advertising over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I mean, different strokes for different folks, you know. But either way, you're going to get a huge amount by reading one or both of those books. And the nice thing is they come together. We can put a link in the show notes. It's about $8 to get both of them on a Kindle or a print edition of both books. They're not that long. And yeah, you know, the stuff that I was quoting at the beginning was from My Life in Advertising. Great stories, right? So yeah, thanks for that. All right, okay, let's recap.
Let's recap.
Yeah. All right. Claude Hopkins laid the foundation for us more than 100 years ago with what he discovered and then wrote about sampling and demonstration. Lead magnets today use the same principles by providing samples and demonstrations in a way that the prospect gets to preview the experience if they decide to become a customer. We looked at three great examples. My first two chapters, the co-schedule headline analyzer, and the digital marketer Facebook ads templates library. These examples all followed these key rules, focus on one urgent problem. They transitioned to the core offer smoothly, and they had a high perceived value and delivered instant gratification. Finally, we covered three mistakes to avoid. One, and Nathan was talking about this a lot, it's really important, it's easy to make this mistake, so don't. Your lead magnet is not aligned with your core offer. Mistake number two, your lead magnet doesn't give your prospect a quick, tangible win. And mistake number three, you don't have a follow-up strategy for prospects who get your lead magnet. So that's it. And we'll put links in the show notes on copywriterspodcast.com and on the YouTube channel to My Life in Advertising, Scientific Advertising, and my own lead magnet, which, you know, is free. First two chapters of the Persuasion Story Code.
Yeah. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, if you want links to all the books that we mentioned today, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.